Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hey, the Growing in Grace podcast with Mike and Joel. I'm Mike, he's Joel. I did that intro again.
That's okay. We'll probably do it forever anyway.
I guess we have to confirm what the nice lady just said, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us once again. If you think about it sometime, this podcast here is a great tool to share with somebody out there who's trying to figure out where they stand with God. If they're looking, you know, it's one of those things where you can kind of share Jesus without overburdening somebody and say, here, check these guys out. I mean, I don't know if they would listen to us on one of the typical podcast platforms, or if nothing else, give them our website. We've got all of our programs listed there from the past 20 plus years, by the way. The newest ones are first, growingingrace.org. And if they want to try to find us on one of the other podcasting platforms, they can certainly do that. But it's just one of those things where you can let somebody know there's some good news out there that they might not really be all that aware of. And we're kind of weeding through some of this because some weeks ago we asked our listeners to let us know what it is that really changed in their life when they went from some type of legalism into a radical change into grace and a better understanding of the new covenant. And we're playing catch up here a little bit. These comments came in weeks ago, but I don't know if we'll be able to wrap them up here today, Joel, but let's get this ball rolling.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do here. And mainly I was reading off of comments that were on two of our YouTube episodes from, you know, several weeks ago, because that's where most of the comments came in on, and because those are the two programs that we mentioned this on. One other comment did come in on another episode, so let's just do that one because this is a good one. So we're talking about things that have changed. You know, grace changed this about you. You know, religion taught you something, and you came into grace, and this is what changed you, or this is a big thing that you stopped doing, or some, you know, things along that line. So somebody says here, the first thing I stopped doing that my law church taught me to do when I learned of the gospel of grace and the new covenant was to stop keeping the Sabbath. Oh, it's a big one. We kept it from sunset Friday evening until sunset Saturday evening. It took me a while to get up the courage to do it, but I was glad I did. Now I know we have an eternal rest in Christ, resting in his finished work. And then somebody responded to that. I grew up in your same church. Coming out of it was, quote, spooky. Leaving the Sabbath as an Adventist is considered heresy. I'm grateful for this podcast. Now, so a lot of things stick out there, but one of the things here, it took me a while to get up the courage to do it, you know, to stop keeping the Sabbath. That's one thing that religion will do to you. And it's happened to you and me, our listeners here. It's happened to all of us in some way or another. Something becomes so deeply ingrained in you that religion has ground into you that it can be scary to give it up, you know, whether it was some sort of religious activity or belief or your understanding of something. It can be spooky. It can be scary. It can take some courage. It can take a while. You know, people go sometimes for many years wondering, can I really do this? Well, yeah, is this grace thing really, you know? Yeah, and a lot of questions because religion has done so much damage to some people. So this Sabbath thing, obviously, if you've listened to us for long enough, you know that the Sabbath, in fact, a few weeks ago, just before this series, we did a podcast on resting in Christ. Christ himself is our Sabbath. It's not a day. It's not Saturday. It's not Sunday, the Christian Sabbath. There are, you know, the Adventists that are being talked about here in the one comment. they believe that it's Saturday. Other mainstream Christians, if they're Sabbath keepers, or if they don't believe in Saturday as a Sabbath, they start calling Sunday the Christian Sabbath, and they won't go shopping, they won't mow their lawn, they won't do any work on Sunday. They're all missing the point anyway. And the Sabbath law was more than just the fourth commandment. It was a couple dozen or more other commandments that went along with that. So anybody who says they're keeping the Sabbath, they're really not. But yet it is so freeing to become freed from that bondage, the mindset that you can't do anything on a certain day of the week, when you're really free in Christ any day of the week.
That's true. I mean, it's just one of those things, an old covenant concept, an old covenant line item from the law of Moses that sometimes just gets Christianized a little bit. Some probably adhere to it more than others. and a lot of people in Christianity don't really pay much attention to it, but there are those who do. You might remember, Joel, we might have even done a podcast on it. But years ago, I saw an old friend of mine post something on social media about a message that had to do with how you could apply the Sabbath to your life, something like that.
Right. Uh-huh.
And it was,
I remember that.
I think you even made the comment, because there was a link to it, and I think we both listened to it, and I think you even made the comment that you couldn't even listen all the way through it. It was so bad.
Yeah.
And but people get wrapped up in this kind of stuff. And something we were talking about before we came on, the Sabbath has like close to three dozen other rules, statutes, and commands attached to that headline from the Ten Commandments. There's a bunch of other stuff involved here. So most people have no idea when they think they're trying to apply or keep the Sabbath in some way, shape, or form, whatever that is. They have no idea what it was really all about under the law, and that it wasn't really meant to be carried over other than if you want to call Christ your Sabbath because he's a place of rest. But it has nothing to do with rule keeping and doing or not doing and all of that.
Yeah. Well, I think it comes from, and going along with what you're saying there, so many of these old covenant laws and practices, people try to Christianize them. They can't necessarily keep them in the way that that they were laid out there in the law. Because if you go and read all the Sabbath laws, it's impossible to even do it as a non-Jew, mm-hmm. and not even living in that time. But we'll try to... And I think that thing that you were talking about that I couldn't make it all the way through is basically a modern church Christianizing it, trying to make it applicable in a Christian sense, in a new covenant sense or whatever. And it's not. It's just not. We try to do that with so many things. The old covenant laws and practices were a shadow of Christ, of a person. They weren't a shadow of a way that we do things in Christ. Those things were a shadow. Christ is the substance, Christ himself. So now, like we talked about last week, this new and living way, it's him, it's a person, it's not a set of practices, it's not a set of laws or rules or traditions or anything, it's Christ himself.
And I think that Christianizing thing has roots with people having a mindset that the Bible is all just one book.
Right. Yeah.
And, you get in that mindset, and so you try and connect these dots that aren't really supposed to connect.
Right.
You'll get the wrong picture. Here's one from somebody, Joel, who says that when people worship for the Holy Spirit to come or for God's presence to be with us, they've apparently been freed from that. The Holy Spirit, as they go on to say, the Holy Spirit was poured out. We have bold and confident access to the Father at all times. We don't sing and pray for God to be with us to get some kind of emotional rush. We praise him that he is with us every moment of every day through Christ's work. There you go.
Yeah. And that was a Spotify comment. So we're now getting into some of these Spotify comments. And over the years, most of our comments have been on YouTube. And Spotify has lately made it a little more easier to comment and to reply and things like that. So I think we're getting a few more comments on there. So we're thankful for that, for your participation either way, whatever way you're able to do it. It's just, this one has gotten me for many years. Just the whole, come Holy Spirit. It's like, where did you go anyway?
Well, yeah, and Joel, it's so easy to do, right? When even when you're in just like a small group with a few people and you say, okay, let's pray. And you kind of sit there for a minute trying to get in the zone, right? Not the auto zone, the God zone. And then you kind of start saying things because I think sometimes we just use it as a buffer.
Yeah.
As we're trying to think about what we want to say while we're praying with other people out loud. And it can be intimidating for some people. So an easy thing to say to try and get the ball rolling is, God, we welcome your presence. Well, I would turn that inside out through my grace knowledge that I've been able to experience and say that God has invited us into his presence.
Yes, that's
and
good.
And let's live in that.
Yeah. And I think in addition to like the buffer, because I think that's good, I think that's true, I think people are also looking for an emotional experience. They don't think that they've heard from the Spirit or that he's present unless they get some sort of emotional experience, you know, some sort of emotional experience happens. I felt God, you know, I felt the Spirit. Now that we've been praying here and asking, and now I feel his presence. And really, it's just a mood. It's a mood setting. It's not that the Spirit has suddenly arrived. It's that now your mood has changed. I'm just being real here. And it's okay. You know, it's okay that when you're with other people or by yourself and you're focusing on the Holy Spirit and it changes and you know, maybe you feel some peace or maybe you, quote, feel more of a presence of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that, but let's not mistake it for him being off somewhere else, because he's always been with you and you don't have to get into a certain frame of feeling or anything like that. He's just there. Like we were talking about last week, prayer for you and ICAP has been more of just an ongoing conversation with him. I don't feel the need to have him, you know, give me some emotional feeling. Sometimes I do get an emotional feeling, and that's great. But I know that he's been with me all along. And like you said, he invited us into him, into his presence. I think that's what I hope a lot of people would understand.
Yeah, we get it a little bit backwards sometimes, and God understands that.
Yeah. Let's see. Spotify here. It's something we've talked about in the past few weeks here, because this one has come up more than once. Somebody says, the one that stands out for me is asking for forgiveness. I used to pray every night, and included in my prayer was an automatic, please forgive my sins. Broad spectrum, not mentioning anything specific, just please forgive me. What a joy to have learned the truth about forgiveness. So yeah, we've, you know, through the one sacrifice of Christ, as we've talked about many times here, that one sacrifice, all of our sins have been forgiven. There is no more forgiveness of sins because it's already been forgiven. And so what do we do when we sin? Well, we thank God. Instead of, you know, thinking that he's keeping track or that we have to continually ask him for forgiveness over and over again, just thank him for that sacrifice of Christ. Thank him that through what Jesus did, like we were just talking about, he has invited us into his presence, and we're there because of what Christ did, not because of our confessions, not because of anything that we do or say or ask. It's just a done deal. We're in him, and he is in us, and our sins have been forgiven.
Yeah, if I can interject something here, I guess maybe one of the things that jumped out at me, too, as I came across the Grace Bridge is realizing that I'm not identified as a sinner any longer.
Yeah.
Oh, we're all just sinners. We're all just sinners saved by grace. Well, it's true that we've all had sin in our lives, of course, but that's not how we're identified in Christ any longer. We're not identified as that. And that was kind of a big thing for me, because I think I can totally relate to where this person is coming from. I did the same thing. You wanted to be sure that everything was forgiven. So rather than try to remember or think of anything that you might have done wrong for that day, which is not healthy anyway, then you just say, well, just forgive me for everything I might have done wrong. Just wipe my slate clean. And I don't know how many times I probably got up after doing that, Joel, and as a younger person, and I would tell myself, well, I proved it again. I'm just a sinner. And so you're living in that identity. And then you've got this get out of jail free card with, if I just confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. Another one of those verses is completely taken out of context. And so it almost really, in reality, it encourages people to sin. But if we can begin to get people to understand that they're not sinners, that they are the righteousness of God in Him, and that God is empowering us from within, that we don't have to always be doing the wrong things because we're sinners, then we can begin to walk in the Spirit in a more fruitful way, the fruit of the Spirit. And so I just thought I would throw that out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think that you're a sinner, then you think it's just natural for you to sin. And in Christ, that's goes contrary to our nature.
And then you give in to temptation, right? Because in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, I can just confess it afterward.
Right.
But if you understand that you're already forgiven, you can overcome a lot of stuff that's going to mess up your life.
Yeah, and I just, on Facebook, I just came across a memory. I don't know if I shared it again or not, but a few years ago, I was talking to a friend, and she believed in the confession of sins. And anyway, there was a big Irish fest coming up in our town, and she was serious about this, that she was going to go and get drunk and just have a great, great old time there. And then there's a big Catholic church. She was Catholic, and there's a big Catholic church right there downtown. Then she was just going to go over there and confess her sins. And she was serious. But she also felt, because she was serious about her faith too, that she thought that she had to feel some sort of sorrow for her sins, and she had to take on some sort of punishment and pay some sort of penance for her sins. As well. And I said, well, was what Christ did not enough for you? Well, I'm thankful for what Christ did, but I have to do my part. I have to pay for my sins as well. And I couldn't convince her. And she was a good friend from a long time ago that I had reconnected with at work. And we were just talking about this stuff. And I mean, I wasn't trying to be pushy with her or anything like that, but I was trying to help her to see that as many, and she would just say she would used to do 100 Our Fathers and do the rosary and all these other things, just all this religious stuff. If she didn't believe that she was really forgiven unless she did all these things. And then even then she questioned it all. And so it's just so good to be free and to know that the one sacrifice of Jesus, we wouldn't have even had to have that conversation if she only knew that Christ took care of it all through his one sacrifice. That's one thing we try to focus on here too.
Yeah, and realizing who you are in him.
Right.
And you can start living from that. Somebody else says, I find that when I visit churches from my past, people want to pray with me and over me for my awful, sinful life that I must have been leading since I wasn't sitting in their church. And then she goes on to kind of joke around and say, I guess religion and buildings clean me up, and not Jesus Christ, with a question mark. So, I have no interest in joining that posse again.
No, I hear you.
Praying over people and trying to make sure they get right with God.
Uh-huh.
Please. You know, Serenity Now.
Another Seinfeld reference.
Yes, thank you.
This made me laugh, her comment. I guess religion and buildings clean me up, not Jesus Christ. Because I remember so many memories with that, but I don't know, I could bring up a lot. I just remember some kids running around in our church one time, and they jumped up on the couch, and there was an older gentleman in there. This is years ago, and he says, he was scolding them for running in the house of the Lord. And I just felt so bad for those kids, because they're being taught that the building is holy, that and that they're going to get some sort of, you know, they're doing some sort of disservice to God, or they're hurting God by running, by just running and jumping in his house. And so many people think that there's something special about the building. All it is, it's men have built it, you know, brick and mortar, you could call it, or, you know, whatever materials are used. God didn't build a building. He built a holy, you know, we're a holy building. It's us. His building is us. He lives in us, and there's nothing special about a building. It's wonderful to have a place where you can meet together with other people, but there's nothing special about the building. And then just being there, like this person was saying, she wasn't going to church, basically, and so, or he or she, wasn't going to church, and so it must be a very sinful lifestyle because you're not coming to church. I mean, that's kind of what's being conveyed here.
There's so many people, Joel, there are so many people who equate one's spiritual stature or position based on their church attendance. And it's a serious bondage to be in. They think they're trying to set somebody free from their sinful bondage when they're stuck in bondage themselves. So when did running become wrong? Anyway,
right, yeah.
So don't tell God who darted over to the prodigal son.
Yeah, right. Right. Exactly. Well, I think this one, we might have to just do one more episode. We just have a few comments left, but this one's gone long again, which is fine, nothing wrong with that. But so we're thankful for that. I'm enjoying this because it's given us the opportunity to hear from you, the listener, and then to just kind of, you know, chat about these things. And I know that in the comments you all are relating to each other too, so that's wonderful too. So we'll do probably one more episode with your comments next week, right here on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.